worship, it's good to be able to sound. To be able to take some time to focus on the Word of God. In Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, it says this. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And over the next 4 weeks, over this course of Advent, we're going to be taking some time to take some thoughts, not necessarily from these verses, but this concept of the fact that Christ came at just the right time. It was all part of God's plan. He came at just the right moment because of His coming, because of what He accomplished. There are some things that can make an incredible difference in our lives and should make an incredible difference in our lives. And what we want to do over the next 4 weeks is take some time to say, what are some of those things, and how should my life be different because Jesus Christ came at just the right time? When is the last time in your life that you had a sense of expectancy? When is the last time that there was something that you were excited about? Maybe it was an opportunity. Maybe it was an event that was coming up. Maybe you were getting something. Maybe you were going somewhere. There was a sense of eagerness. There was a sense of longing. There's a sense of, oh, I can hardly wait. When is the last time for you had one of those times? Times of excitement. A time of looking forward to. As a child, did you ever make one of those loop chain things? Some of you kind of know what I'm talking about. Some of you are going, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what they're exactly called. I'd call it a Christmas chain, but I don't think it's a Christmas chain because I know we use it for holidays as well. And we cut out all these strips of papers and made these chains, right? Depending how far in advance we wanted to start looking forward to something, these chains sometimes almost wrapped around the room, right? And it was a countdown chain, and the last loop on the chain meant that event was going to be there. The event was happening, and each day that passed, coming up to that event, whether it was Christmas or holidays, we would take one loop off that chain, and as the chain got shorter and shorter, there was more and more excitement because you knew the time was coming. Maybe some of you still have no idea what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you this morning are calendar people, and you mark something on your calendar of an event or something that's coming up, and you're one of those people that goes to the calendar after the day is done, or maybe when the day starts, and you put a stroke through it, right? And as the day gets closer and closer, you have a calendar full of squares that have been stroked out because you know that your event's getting closer. But when is the last time that you had things in your life that caused you to live with expectancy? This morning, as we begin this series at just the right time, we want to look at an individual who lived life, I believe, with a sense of expectancy and great hope because he believed that God was going to send a Savior. The verses that Devin read for us give us a small glimpse into the life of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. Jesus probably just over a month old. But they also give us a glimpse into the life, the only glimpse we have of this man named Simeon. And it's him that we want to draw our attention to this morning. And I believe that as we do this, we won't necessarily see Simeon, but we'll see Simeon's life pointing and directing us towards God. What do we know about this man? Well, we read these verses, and I don't know how familiar, we're probably fairly familiar with these verses. I read through these verses, and I think sometimes when we're familiar with verses, what happens is we kind of gloss over them. But I don't know if you've ever taken time just to stop and to consider and to think, okay, God, what is all in these verses? And I start to look at these verses, 10 verses, and they are packed with emotion. There's so much that is in these verses that sometimes we miss because we read them in familiarity. And I really want to encourage you. We're going to look at them briefly today, but go back sometime this week and read the verses again. Try to sense the emotion. Try to sense what God is trying to say through this account in Scripture. What do we know about Simeon? Simeon was an uncomplicated man. He was a layman, probably wasn't a priest, lived in Jerusalem. Simeon was a name that was a common name. There was many Simeons around. And one of the reasons was because Simeon was one of the leaders of one of the 12 tribes of Jerusalem, of Israel. Simeon means God heard. And you can go back to Genesis to read about that. That in itself is a story. Simeon was probably an old man, as we can see from the fact that he was waiting to see the Messiah, and then he was prepared to die. In verse 25 of the scripture that was read, we're told that he was righteous and devout. He was a man who sought to honor God in all that he did. And I think he would have been well respected, not simply because of his age, but because of the character of his lifestyle. I think in Simeon you had a man that people looked up to because of who he was, because of what God had done in his life and what God was doing in his life. What was said of Simeon in this chapter is the same kind of thing that was said of Zechariah and Elizabeth, John the Baptist's parents, in Luke chapter 1, verse 6. It said for them that they walked blamelessly in all the commands and the statutes of the Lord. And I think Simeon was the same. Simeon was that man. Verse 25 also tells us that the Holy Spirit was upon him. A statement indicating that he had an anointment of God's Spirit in him. A Spirit that would give him special insight so he would know. So he would know who the Messiah, who the Christ was going to be. Verse 27, we see that Simeon was not only had the Spirit in him, but he was sensitive to the Spirit's guidance. Think about it. Out of all the individuals who would have been in the temple grounds, the temple courts that day, Simeon would know who the Messiah was. It absolutely blows me away. After all these years, after every day, would it be today? Would it be today? Would it be today? Simeon would know. I was thinking about that. It'd be less like us going up to Vancouver International Airport and we know that somebody special is coming in. And we need to find them. The only problem is we have no description. We have no idea who they are. But the one person that we go up to and talk to, that's the one. How would Simeon know? Because he was prompted. And he was sensitive to the Spirit's guidance. One poet tried to capsulize this in this way, and I want to read you this poem. But as we think through it, think about it, that Simeon would be that person who was sensitive to God's Spirit in his life. He wrote this. And then it happened late one night. He woke like Samuel to hear a voice, "Wake, Simeon, don't fear. Tomorrow you will see the Lord. He will be meek without a sword, without a spear, without a shield or army in the field. Go early to the house of prayer, and as you kneel to worship there, give praise for mercy to my name, and I will manifest the same." At dawn, the old man knelt where he had prayed for years and now could see. The rich and poor draw near to give some sacrifice that they might live. He looked at every worshiper and waited for his heart to stir. When the Messiah came to pray, he thought it would be as plain as day. Did Simeon know? It is a human trait to show that we expect to find the best. Attended well and finely dressed. And even Simeon was stunned that God with all his strength had shunned. The way of wealth when God revealed, it is the yonder child concealed. Within the simple woolen shawl, could Simeon believe it all? God ever promised lay asleep like treasure bundled in a cheap and tattering sling. Think of it now. Would you believe that God somehow became a child, he did believe, and lay the baby on his sleeve, and trembling let the Spirit fill his mouth. Now by thy sovereign will, O God of grace, let me depart. I see more fully what thou art. How did he know? How did he know? Because he was sensitive to the Spirit's prompting. In this passage, we're told that Simeon went into the temple. The place that he went was probably called the court of women. It's a place where not just women were, but others were, but women couldn't go any further into the temple than that. It was a court that could hold up to 6,000 people who come and would go at any given time. The very day, the very moment, when Joseph and Mary and Jesus walk into the temple courts, God's Spirit guided him, guided Simeon to Jesus and to the parents, and he knew that that was the Christ child. How? Because he stopped and listened to the Spirit's guidance. These are some of the things that we know of this man. Ask Claire, just throw up a slide there quickly, if you would, Claire. I want you to think of a moment, for a moment. Just look at that picture. Simeon, a man anointed by God's Spirit, holding a baby in his arms who he had waited for with expectancy, knowing that this was the Christ child. Can you imagine the emotions that this man must have felt? So long to hold the child next to him and to bless God. Thanks, Claire. There's a couple of other things that stand out about Simeon, other than these few characteristics. Because we look at these verses, we see Simeon had faith and hope in the unfinished work of God. Simeon had an expectancy in the fact that God was going to bring about deliverance. Even though the land was oppressed by the Romans, Simeon had hope in the fact that God had something better in store for the people of Israel. He had faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And even though things around him may have looked grim, even though things around him may not have looked nice, he believed. He lived in such a way that he believed that God would free his people. He believed that at just the right time, the Messiah would come. And from what we know of Simeon, I think we could confidently say that when his eyes opened up in the morning and he lay awake in his bed, he would wonder to himself with expectancy, is today the day? Is today the day? When I go to the temple, is today the day that I will hold the Christ child? And with expectancy, he got out of bed. With expectancy, he made his breakfast. He dressed himself and, like every day, went down to the temple, believing that this could be the day that the Christ would appear. That's what expectancy is. It's desiring, it's longing for something with the hope of fulfillment. You know, Christmas season is a time for many, it's a time of expectancy. There's hopes. It might be hopes and expectancy in what you might get as a present. It might be the hope or the expectancy of seeing family or reacquainting with relationships. Many hopes. For Simeon, his hope was in the unfinished work of God. He knew God had promised the Messiah and he would come. It wasn't done. This morning, what is your hope in? What is your expectancy in? Are you looking forward with excitement to the unfinished work of God? Do you believe that God still has something to accomplish? Do you believe that he's not done? Or have you simply resigned from living one day to the next with no expectation of hope of what God can do? think it's important for us to note that Simeon wasn't the only one who had this expectation. Read a little further in the passage, in verse 38, speaks of a woman named Anna and says this, it says, and coming up that very hour, she, Anna, began to give thanks to God and speak to him of all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Can you imagine what it would be like to be in a group of individuals who have this anticipation, this excitement that God is going to do something? And they waited together. And they would get together and they'd chat and they would talk and they said, well, anything? Any news? But there's a buzz of expectancy. Believing that God was not done. I think as we look at these verses, we see that Simeon had this expectancy in at least a couple of areas. He believed that God was not done with him as an individual. And even though Simeon was an old man, even though he had experienced many things in life, he knew that God was not yet finished with him. In verse 26, it said, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that God would not, that he would not see death before he had seen the Christ child. And it's with that anticipation, it's with that eagerness that he looked forward to the promise of God being fulfilled in his life. He knew that God wasn't finished with him. He knew that God had more. And it caused us to ask, are we expectant because God is not yet finished with us? Do you believe that God has something for you? In Philippians 1 and verse 6, it says this, I am sure of this, that he who began a work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. We need to remind ourselves that as long as we are breathing, God is not done. We need to wake up in the mornings, no matter what we are going through in life, no matter what the circumstances may look like, whether they're joyful, they're just normal, whether they're hard, and believe that because we are alive, God is not yet finished, and we should step into that day with expectancy. That's what Simeon does here. Do we wake up in the morning with a sense of expectations, thinking to ourselves, God, what do you have for me to do today? God, what do you want to do in me today? God has plans. I think Simeon also had an expectancy in the bigger picture. It wasn't just him, but he knew that God's work was unfinished when it came to the people of Israel. In verse 25, it says, he waited for the consolation to soothe, to grieve. Consolation is to bring hope, to rescue his people. And Simeon looked forward to the day when the people of Israel would be delivered from the hand of the oppressors. But I wonder, did he also look around him? And as he looked around him and he saw some of the people of Israel sliding into sin, sliding into legalism, sliding into kind of a nonchalant relationship with the amazing, awesome God of the universe, I wonder if his heart longed for the day when the Messiah would come and not only set them free socially, but personally, spiritually. That he would save them from their sins. I believe that he was waiting for the Messiah, a Savior who would deliver and comfort his people. And he had an expectation and a hope that God would indeed do that. Why did he have the hope? Because of what he read in the Scripture. Isaiah 25 and verse 9 says this, and it will be said that on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Scripture upon scripture saying there will be one who will come who will save, one who will come who will comfort. And that is why he had the hope. You see, God had always saved his people in the past. And Simeon looked to the past and he was reaffirmed in his heart that as God had done in the past, God would do again in the present. And we go into the New Testament in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, and it says this. It says, "For whatever was written in former days, it was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." Who? We may have hope. Today, we can live with expectancy because of what the Scripture says. In the verses that were read, Luke 2, verse 10, "I bring you great news of what? Great joy that will be for all people." Why? Because of what Jesus would accomplish. Because of what he would do. So we can live with expectancy. I think like Simeon, we may not always understand the circumstances of life or why the things are the way they are. But we know that God is in control. We know the one in whom we can have hope. I think Simeon knew that things were not as they should be, but still he was expectant. Still, he had great hope. If Simeon didn't know the promises of God, I wonder what his life would have been like. Despair? Old age. Apparently with old age comes hurt, pains. You can't do things you used to do. The circumstances around him. If he didn't know the promises of God, would he just been living in despair? I sometimes wonder, what do people do who don't believe in God? When the things in life spiral out of control, when there's nothing there to grab onto, what do you do for hope? Is there hope? The Savior, Jesus, came that we might have hope so that we could live life expectantly. Born just over 2,000 years ago, born just at the right time, born all a part of God's divine plan. And it was all something with expectancy. Simeon believed would happen. Today, looking back, we can rejoice in the finished work of God. But with expectancy, we can still look to the unfinished work of God because he's not done. We're told that in the same way he came as a baby, one day, again, he will come. Does that excite you? Do you look forward to that? Are you cutting loops off the chain? Are you marking the squares on your calendar? Are you living with expectancy? Knowing that he will come? Do you hope in his glorious return? I love this song. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I will see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, takes me through the promised land. What a day. Glorious day that will be. Do you live with that expectancy? Do you know that God is not yet done with you? Do you know that God is not yet done with his people? That until he comes, he has a work to do in you and through us as a body? Why? Why could he have that hope? Because his hope was well placed. Listen to what it says. The God of Simeon was unshakable and is unshakable. Psalm 62, verses 6 to 8. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in him at all time, O peoples. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. The God of Simeon is unchangeable. Malachi 3 verse 6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. His God is faithful, Psalm 145 and verse 13 says, "The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. His God is loving." Psalm 36:5 says, "Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds." These are but a few of the characteristics of God. A number of years ago, I read a book. It was called Evidence Not Seen. And it's a true story about a missionary, an American missionary named Darlene Diebler Rose, who survived 4 years in a notorious Japanese prison camp, tucked away in the jungles of New Guinea. Thinking that she would never see her husband again, she signed off on a false confession, believing that she was going to go to the sword. But she was miraculously saved. And in the front of this book, she wrote this. She said, "I began to write the story of my experiences during World War II for Bruce and Brian, my sons. I wish them to know if ever difficult circumstances came into their lives that their mother's God was still alive and well. And his arm has never lost its ancient power. One day when she was going through some interrogation and some torture and she was down and she was discouraged, she wrote this. She wrote, 'Your word says you will never leave me or forsake me. Lord, I confirm my faith. I believe the words of Hebrews 11:1. And they welled up unbeckoned to fill my mind. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Evidence not seen. That was what I put my trust in. Not a feeling of a moment of ecstasy, but in the unchangeable person of Jesus Christ. And suddenly I realized I was singing, she writes, "When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." She continues to write, "I was assured that my faith rested not on feelings, not on the moment of ecstasy, but on the person of my matchless, changeless Savior, in whom no shadow is caused by turning. In a measure, I felt I understood Job when he declared, 'Though he slay me, yet I will trust him.' Job knew that he could trust God because Job knew the character of the one in whom he had put his trust. It was stripped of feelings, faith without trappings. More than ever before, I knew I could ever and always put my trust and my faith in my glorious Lord, and I encouraged myself in his word. Why could Simeon hope in God? Why could there be an expectancy because of who God was? Why could Darlene Diebler Rose trust in God because of who he was? Do you have those stories? Do you live life with expectancy because God is the same God today as he was yesterday? The one who would send the Messiah came that we might have hope, that we would be different, that we would be changed. We would be changed. What is the object of your faith this morning?" In these verses, Simeon is a man whose hope is well placed because God is at the center of it. And what is the result? What is the result? In verse 29, it says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Result of expectancy in Christ is peace. Not dependent upon circumstances, but dependent upon an all-sufficient, gracious God. Simeon's hope gave him peace. Peace despite the circumstances. Peace despite all the things that were going on around him. Why? Because God is a God of promise. Because God is a God of promise. In verse 29 in the NIV, it says this, "His sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace." In these 10 verses, in a short narrative of this man, Simeon, we see one who lived life with expectancy. One who points us to God and says, as I lived with expectancy, so can you, and I don't think you knew this, 2,000 plus years later, go into each day with expectancy as individuals, knowing that God is not finished in you. We can meet as a body of believers, believing that God is not yet done, and there can be expectancy because of the Messiah. Because not only is God a God of promise, but God is a God who fulfills His promises. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." Have you clung to that promise? Have you come to the place in your life where you recognize that life without God is hopeless? And that God calls you to know Him, that God calls you to look at your life and say, "God, I know I can't come to You on my own, but because of that Christ, because of the Messiah, I can have forgiveness of sin." Have you come and repented before Him and say, "God, take this"? Do we do that on a regular basis, coming before God and saying, "God, take my life, because I want to be expectant in all that You have for me"? Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, "God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Do you have fear in your life? The promise is, fear not. Why? Because I, God says, I will strengthen you. In 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In Hebrews 7:25, He says, "Consequently, He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through Him, since He is always making intercession for them." Right now, no matter what you are going through in life, Christ is making intercession for you. Do you claim those promises? Four promises, only four. Look into the Word. Look into the Word. God, show me the promises so that I can live life with expectancy. God, show me so that my life will be different than those who do not know You, who do not have the hope that You have given. Because it's here. It's in God's Word. Is your expectancy in the promises of God? Because when it is, the promises are, there will be peace. What an encouragement I think we can gain for this man, Simeon. Who would have thought there would be so much encouragement from 3, 4, 10 verses from this one man? A man who's placed his hope in the unfinished and finished work of God. One whose hope was realized in the coming of Jesus Christ as a baby. The one who realized that God was not yet done, because the baby in His arms was just the beginning of what God was going to continue to unfold for the lives of many. The birth of Jesus would bring salvation according to God's plan. The birth of Christ should lead us to live lives of expectancy. Father God, we come before You this morning. We thank You. We thank You for Your grace, because we know that we did absolutely nothing to deserve the promises that You gave. We did nothing to deserve the fact that it says that in the fullness of time that You sent Your Son. We did nothing But God, because of what Jesus came to do, because of what he accomplished, we know that we can be forgiven. We know that we can live lives of expectancy. And God, I pray that our lives would be different from those who do not know you, that they too would know that there is hope. There is hope in the birth of this Christ child that we celebrate at Christmas. God, may it cause us to worship. May you be the one in which we find, in whom we find our strength. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.